Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you a question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we are afraid of the multitude, for all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went. And he went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the harlots believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward repent and believe him." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate the reading. Throughout the Gospels, we get glimpses of the mindset and personality of the chief priest and elders in Jesus' time. As Jesus would teach and preach to the people, they would spend much of their time diminishing what Jesus would say and do. It seemed they were always looking for a way to do that. In fact, it got to the point where they would not even answer the Lord's questions for fear they would be admitting he was the Messiah. And if not admitting he was the Messiah, that John was indeed a great prophet bringing the true word of God, which the chief priests and elders did not listen to and accept. Have you ever experienced someone's behavior of diminishing the ideas, thoughts, and experiences of others? And if so, what do you attribute that to? Envy? Jealousy? Narcissism? Or something else? What need is in someone that they feel the need to diminish others? A man tells this story. He says, "When I was in seminary, I met an interesting young man by the name of Shannon. What made him interesting were his looks. His hair was a different color each week. His ears were loaded with earrings, and he wore the big, loose, grunge style of clothing. But the most interesting point of style was his shorts. And he always wore shorts, regardless of the weather. What made his shorts so odd was the way he wore them. You see, he always wore them backwards." As you could imagine, anyone who dressed like that in seminary stuck out like a sore thumb. "One day I couldn't stand any longer, and my judgmental sarcasm got the best of me, and I had to make a crack about his shorts. To my surprise, he was ready for my criticism. Shannon turned to me and said, 'I'll tell you just like I tell everyone else who asks me why I wear my shorts backwards. God turned my life around so quick that my shorts couldn't keep up.'" Something interesting happened as the semester progressed. I began to see through Shannon's actions, class participation, research papers, and prayers that he was a very spiritual man. My initial reaction to Shannon was one of rejection and diminishing. But when I saw past my prejudices, my biases, down to his heart, my rejection and need to diminish soon turned to respect. Was that the case with Jesus? Was it because he was different? He went against the norm? Could it be the case that the chief priests and elders never saw past his differences into his heart? Do we do that to others? Have you ever been in a meeting where someone presented a really good idea? And nearly everyone at the table said, "Wow, that's a great idea. I really like it." And then there's that one person who says, "We've done that before. That's not anything new." Someone says, "We did. When?" "Oh, it's been about 20 years ago, but we did it." You see how they want to diminish? They want to, everyone thinks that's a great idea, but this person just has to voice, "No, not really. Not a great idea since we've done it before." Well, now it begs the question, why was that comment made? What was going on with this person? What if accepting that what was said is true, the person had said, "That is a great idea. We did that some years ago, and it worked beautifully. I'm so glad you brought that idea to the table. It will benefit us." What if that was the response? You know, what if someone said to Jesus, "You know, that was a really great idea. I like what you said. I've heard that years ago, and we really need to hear it again." But that isn't what they did. They tore him apart. They played tricks on him. They tried to get him to say things he didn't want to say and shouldn't have said and wouldn't have said. Or perhaps, what if you didn't even mention it had ever been done before and just said, "That's a great idea"? What do you think the motivation of the diminisher was? Jealousy? Envy? What? Could it be someone who wants to be seen as the idea person and doesn't like having the perception taken away? The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin say, "Wait a minute, we're the idea people, not him. Don't listen to him. We're the people you need to come to." So jealousy, envy, we don't want to hear from Jesus. Listen to us. We're the idea people. Some people just feel the need to be the focus. The story was told of a young preacher who was rejected by the other associate ministers of a church he served. They said very little to him and would often talk behind his back. One day he went to the pastor and expressed his intentions of leaving the church and seeking a pastorate somewhere else because he was deeply affected by the rejection he received. He said to the pastor, "I don't know what I've done to make these fellows dislike me so much. I really want to be a part of their fellowship, and I've done everything I possibly could to be a friend to them. But for some reason, they keep on rejecting me." The pastor was a wise and seasoned man of God, and he said to the young preacher, "Why don't you look out the window for a moment and tell me what you see?" The young preacher said, "I see two trees. I see a chinaberry tree and a pecan tree." The pastor said, "Look a little harder and tell me what you see." The young preacher said, "Well, I see a lot of sticks and rocks around the pecan tree, but it is very clean around the chinaberry tree. There's nothing but green grass around the chinaberry. As a matter of fact, it's very nice." The pastor said, "Then that's your answer. The reason why you don't see sticks and stones around the chinaberry tree is because that tree doesn't have anything that people want. But it's different with the pecan tree. People throw things at it because they want what it has. If you are gifted, talented, it is quite possible that people will throw some things at you that you really don't want." And when he entered the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you a question, and if you can tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things." You see, Jesus was clever. He didn't give up. He didn't ask for a new pastorate. He didn't say to God, "Send me somewhere else. These guys are picking on me." He dealt with them. He dealt with the chief priest. He dealt with the elders, and he did it in a beautiful way. In fact, he set the example of how we could deal with those who diminish us. What if you were one step ahead of those who would diminish you? For many years, Sir Walter Scott was the leading literary figure in the British Empire. No one could write as well as him. Then the works of Lord Byron began to appear, and their greatness was immediately evident. Soon, an anonymous critic praised his poems in a London paper. He declared that in the presence of these brilliant works of poetic genius, Scott could no longer be considered the leading poet of England. It was later discovered the unnamed reviewer had been none other than Sir Walter Scott himself. There is a distinction between jealousy and envy. To envy is to want something which belongs to another person. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, his wife or his servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. In contrast, jealousy is the fear that something which we possess will be taken away by another person. Although jealousy can apply to our jobs, our possessions, or our reputations, the word more often refers to anxiety, which comes when we are afraid the affections of a loved one might be lost to a rival. We fear that our mates or perhaps our children will be lured away by some other person who, when compared to us, seems to be more attractive, capable, and successful. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men? And they argued with one another. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the multitude, for all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Jesus had something that they wanted. He had people following him. He had people listening to him, as did John the Baptist. Excuse me, and the scribes and the Pharisees are saying, people aren't listening to us anymore. People aren't doing what we want them to do. They're doing what he wants them to do. Jealousy. Jesus had something they wanted, and it was love. It was the true word of God. And so they began to diminish him to the point they killed him. What a quandary. What to do? Either answer could come back on them. What if the chief priests and elders had been encouragers instead of diminishers? What if they had sought to support a ministry such as Jesus's, where love and forgiveness was at the fore? What if they had have actually said, this is a great man, you need to listen to him? I once formed a mutual encouragement fellowship at a time of stress in one of my pastorates, and the members subscribed to a simple formula applied before speaking of any person or subject that was perhaps controversial. It was called think. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? If what I am about to say does not pass those tests, I will keep my mouth shut. And it worked. In this church, it worked, and people began to think. And every time they would think, they thought of these acronyms, and they got to where a lot of what they said, most of what they said, came out as very supportive. Simple rule, if you don't say it, it can't be repeated. Yiddish folklore offers a telling tale about gossip makers and diminishers. One such man had diminished and told so many malicious untruths about the local rabbi that, overcome by remorse, he begged the rabbi to forgive him. And rabbi, tell me how I can make amends, he said. The rabbi sighed. Take two pillows, go to the public square, and there cut the pillows open. Wave them in the air. Then come back. The rumor monger quickly went home, got two pillows and a knife, hastened to the square, cut the pillows open and waved them in the air, and hastened back to the rabbi's chambers. I did just what you said, Rabbi. Good, the rabbi smiled. Now, to realize how much harm is done by gossip and diminishing, go back to the square. And the man said, and collect all your feathers. Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the harlots believed him, and even when you saw it, you did not afterward repent and believe. The feathers. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin got all these feathers out there, and they couldn't get them back. They had said all kinds of horrible things about Jesus, and they made it a point to say it to the Romans, and they made it a point to get Jesus killed. Jesus was saying, you diminished John, who spoke the word of God. Now you are diminishing me and the word of God. To realize how much harm is done by your diminishing that which we bring, collect all your feathers. That's what he was telling them. Get out there. Let's see if you can make this right. They couldn't. What is said is said. There is no taking it back. The damage is done. If you diminish someone, you have hurt them in ways you cannot take back. I used to do a children's sermon where I would sit with them on carpet and I'd get salt. And I would tell them, these are words. And I'd pour the salt on the carpet and it would go down into the carpet. And I said, get the salt out. They couldn't. Said, that's what it's like when you say hateful things. That's what it's like when you start rumors. That's what it's like when you diminish people. You can't take it back. So Jesus stands before them, and in this case, he turns on them and says, you won't tell me, I won't tell you. But do you think they listened then? No, they hated him all the more. And he was killed. So my prayer for us this day is may we be encouragers as our Lord is encouraged in us every day. There is never a time that the Lord does not lift us up and love us. There is never a time that the Lord doesn't say, I'm here for you. He does not diminish us. He forgives us and he lifts us up and he loves us. Let us pray. God of love, we stand before you today knowing that many times we have said things that are wrong. We have talked about people in ways that we should not have talked about them. We know that we cannot take it back, but we can be better people and we can stop doing things that harm others. For you, O Lord, are an encourager. Encourage us to be better people. Encourage us to be fair and honest, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.